Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Palace of Peace Talk Radio. It is me, Michelle Manders, and I am accompanied by my co-host, Faith Parent Hendrickson. And we are here today with a very exciting, jam-packed 90 minutes of information. We are going to be covering the highlights of our current Earth Guardian project, the activation week actually coming to a close today. It is the new moon in Pisces. We have the solar eclipse happening. There is lots going on. And we're also going to be covering some important aspects regarding protection techniques. And I don't know about you, Faith, but I have found a lot of people do not understand protection techniques. But before we go into that, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you. Very excited from the project that wrapped up, and the new moon today, everything going on. Just been an amazing first 3 months of this year.
It's been a crazy first 3 months of this year, if you ask me. So much has been happening. So today we've got a lot of ground to cover, so I'm not going to waste too much time speaking about irrelevant things. Now, Faith, you are very much a part of how these project energies have been working. You've been involved right from the get-go. So, would you mind just, sharing with our listeners part of what your experience has been, because it's generally me always chin wagging endlessly what's been going on, but it's I channel the projects, I channel the information, I manage the project, so it's good to have it coming from another party and just not from me. So
well, sure, I'd love to, thank you. And for people who are new following the channel here for Palace of Peace Talk Radio, Michelle is at palaceofpeace.net and channels Katumi Agrippa. And since December 2012, I cannot believe that, we've been doing projects with your leadership all around the world. Basically, what we're doing is oversimplify anything. I beg your pardon. We're rewiring as a group, working with the angelic host, with Katumi Agrippa, Mary Magdalene, Saint Germain, Archangel Michael, etc., Mother Earth, as we say goodbye to a 26,000-year period and welcome in a very new time of higher consciousness, higher awareness, the golden age. And what that means is quite frankly, dark or fear has been running the show and here on Mother Earth as part of our Earth School here to learn that what life would be like thinking that we're separate from God and those challenges. And these projects since December have been really taking out all the dark installations, technology, what have you, being that paradigm or framework of lack of poverty consciousness, victim consciousness, lack consciousness or lust consciousness, which includes greed, alive. So it's been a very exciting time making that happen. And what might surprise you is the way that we do that is there's a group of us that have been working together as a core group since that time, by really working on ourselves and knowing who we are outside of what our illusions are of ourselves or maybe what we've agreed to think because of society or family puts upon us, all of those areas within ourselves of, quote, darkness, and therefore it releases that from Mother Earth. So we're no longer anchoring, we're releasing those dark aspects of self, learning what those are, how they came about, and through love, compassion, peace, honesty, integrity, all of the higher vibrations of love-based consciousnesses, like prosperity consciousness, victory consciousness. We help heal Mother Earth. We help bring in the golden template and new energy portals and grids for Mother Earth, rewiring her nervous system, which happens for us too. And the recent project that we just worked on, we work a lot in these projects with masters or lords or the planetary spirits that most know from astrology teachings. And Lord Uranus was very, very big in this project in relation to deconditioning ourselves from our fate or our karma as held in your chart by Lord Saturn, and becoming a higher, more individual part of ourselves through Uranus. And his energy can be very shocking and surprising, but very releasing. And I found that this project of the 12 of the 12 since December has been probably the most powerful in releasing deeply buried conditions of how one responds in one's life, especially that which may be hidden or that you've not been able to easily move past. So the awareness, the consciousness, and to learn is the key from anything that has been held back. And not in judgment of it, but truly, honestly, learning and understanding that everything we go through is for spiritual growth. So for me, it was the aha moments of how God is up for you in your life and what that looks like. And this is separate from faith, because truly, as you've heard me say before, I am my first name, and I found Revelations, which is Lord Uranus, in that regard to be just profound and so freeing and allowing you to be in your own proper power and being creative, which is the sun, which is God and the masculine energy. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What do you think about all that I said?
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Faith, and I'm glad you're sticking to it, because it's really a great one. And as I've always said, I really so value your ability to summarize the energies and the information and just put it across so succinctly. So thank you so much for that, Faith. And you know, it's as you've said, these projects have been so powerful, and we've, in actual fact, the project that we completed today was our 12th project. So it's been 12 of these projects working in this manner specifically. I personally have been channeling Kutumi and his new energy is Kutumi Agrippa, and working as a professional channel in that for 22 years this year. So
wow.
It's been an incredible journey of, you know, working alongside these highly benevolent masters of higher consciousness and these benevolent beings of the light who are Goddess Gaia's allies and who are all joining forces to inform that Goddess, as in Mother Earth, fully reclaims her power and her light. And, you know, she's standing up in her power now, reclaiming her light, reclaiming her body, which is resulting in all these, you know, colossal changes happening for everyone across the globe. And what I find is so powerful about our group, which is called the Emerald Ray Clan of Earth, and we work together, is that all the clearing and healing that we're doing with regards to ourselves, taking full responsibility for our personal healing journey, taking full responsibility for being completely open and transparent with ourselves, as well as taking full responsibility for forgiving ourselves and embodying the energies of compassion and joy and unconditional love, and truly building a solid system of self-love within ourselves, because these energies become powerful shields of light. Automatically are constructed within our energy field, because no longer do we have these portals of negative energy spinning in our energy field all the time. The more responsibility we take for our journey, the more aware we are of ourselves, and especially our more vulnerable points or our weak spots. When you are aware of your greatest weakness, you can then establish a whole new way of working with yourself, because connecting with, or let me rather put it this way, being honest with yourself about certain aspects of your personality, your psyche, your psychology, your mentality, whatever it may be, being aware of the parts of yourself that are still wounded or still challenged by the wounding that you originally experienced is a very courageous thing to do. And that enables you to be able to work on the most important aspects of renewing your entire blueprint, in other words, your map for this life in terms of moving forward. And when we are self-aware and fully conscious to as much a degree as is possible of how we handle situations in life, the more protected we are. And when I speak of protection, it's protection against the projections from the external world, protection against our own internal negativity, our own internal negative dialogue, and the programs, the conditions we attached to that resulted in what we've had to come and master in this incarnation. But by going through the deconditioning process, which is what this project has been about, it's afforded us so many wonderful opportunities to see how our journey, our life journey, has been almost controlled by these challenges that we've had to deal with. So when it comes to ensuring that we are not influenced by the collective wound, by collective rage and fear, to ensure that we are able to withstand energies projected within our home space by our children, our partners, by friends, by family, by work colleagues, the more centered you are in yourself, the more you know yourself, the stronger you are in yourself. So if you know you are not one who deals well with confrontation, or you are super, super sensitive to negative energy and you can't handle gossiping, you don't do crowds well, then you know if you have to be in that kind of environment, you are going into that environment with awareness. If you are having to perhaps meet up with a person and it's a confrontational situation, then if you know you're not good with confrontation, that gives you the opportunity then to prepare yourself for those encounters. And all 12 projects, I must say, have in their own way honed in on very specific issues that we as a global community of human beings are challenged by on a day-to-day basis. And each project has kind of like focused on, well, not kind of like, they have focused on specific areas of our human consciousness, our psychology, and the development of those different aspects of ourselves. And working with Lord Uranus in this project has been extremely liberating, which is his purpose, and finding recognizing the parts of myself that still needed TLC in order to emerge more empowered and more at peace and feeling whole, required of me to be humbly transparent with myself. Although at times that in itself is difficult, because when we connect into, you know, insecurities or shortcomings or issues, we naturally tend to feel bad about ourselves because that is the conditioning we have been programmed with. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, Faith, you've described it so beautifully, but also the importance of the self-work that goes hand in hand with serving Mother Earth is perhaps the most important core heartbeat and soul of these projects. Would you agree, Faith, or would you like to, you know, express that in a different way? Because I know sometimes I think I'm explaining it very simply, but actually not. So, Faith to the rescue!
You did a great job. And honestly, at the end, I guess 2 weeks ago, if not three, I was going to sit down and write a love letter to Lord Uranus. I'm not kidding you. Dear Lord Uranus, thank you. You know, this was taking all of the projects, and it truly was like, you know, at the end of
a
cycle,
lucky.
And you can see the beginning of the new one. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, Faith. Lord Uranus is lucky that he was going to be getting a love letter from you, because I was ready to give him a letter of resignation as I was being scraped off of the floor with that butter knife. Come, Michelle, you can do this, girlfriend. Let's peel the left hand off. Let's peel the right hand off.
Well, you know,
Michelle,
I think it's really important. That I really appreciate your sharing with us, because it was by far some of the most gut-wrenching work ever. And it was not something that you, in previous projects, I'm used to going, oh dear God, I have to go down this rabbit hole and I'm going to do it. It came out of nowhere, just like what the heck is this? So I'm glad you pointed that out, but it's just such a surrender to it. And most people don't understand that the way to be in service is the only way to do it is yourself first. It is the order of how things work with life on Earth here. To serve Mother Earth, you've got to take care of yourself first. Then it's the law of fair exchange, one of the cosmic laws that you can find on your website on the 55 cosmic laws. It's yourself first, it's your family, spouse or mate if you have one, your relationships, your work and career. Everything starts from within you. So whatever your inner world is, the outer world cannot be affected till the inner world is addressed. You're dragging it with you. So the importance of self-work is non-negotiable, as well as really understanding and extracting the gift of what your challenges and wounds are in this lifetime. Because I'm telling you, the cool thing about my studying medieval astrology since January 2012 is you can see that the things that manifest in your life were as you scripted. And you are meant to have those challenges because you wanted the experience of it. And so Lord Saturn, as our teacher, is insisting that you cannot be free unless you extract that gift. And through love and wisdom, you're able to move through it. And I love how you said, humbly, how did you say that? I wrote it down. I really like that.
Transparently humbly, humbly transparent with yourself. Yes.
Yes, yes, I love that. So, yeah, there is, and a lot of what you were talking about, I don't want to go off on a tangent if you think this is a tangent, but I thought a lot about, you know, all of us have families and, you know, we're clearing many, many lifetimes as we do this work, and it's in our lineage, it's in our DNA by repetitious behavior, it becomes in the DNA. So when you're clearing something, you're really making a difference in your lineage. Can you talk for a minute about codependence and codependent relationships, like how, because people are sensitive and it's hard to be an individual, which Lord Saturn helps you be individuated, to be an individual person regardless of what is going on around you, as you described. Is there, you know what I mean? Can you talk about that? Because that's a label that people are used to hearing.
Look, you know what, Faith, I from my perspective, and this is purely my perspective, my opinion, is that, you know, you have, you know, codependency can be extremely destructive. But then if we take the word codependency and we turn it into its light aspect, you can take codependency in its negative aspect, where individuals are just constantly projecting the reflection of their issues onto one another without taking responsibility for dealing with whatever the issue is that's being reflected. And then once that energy is brought into a balanced place, you can then look at codependency in its opposite, where it is a collaboration. It is a co-dependent energy where the dependency, and perhaps not dependency in a sense of being victim or, you know, being the damsel in distress or, you know, completely not being able to, you know, deal with any aspect of life. I also believe we need to see the light side of darkness, which is, you know, being part of our project that we've been working with in terms of the darkness meeting the light. So with codependent relationships specifically, if I look back on my life where I was completely wrapped up in codependent relationships as well, the one thing that I needed to do first and foremost was first establish within myself what these relationships were contributing to my life. Were they contributing excessive drama and deception and problems and all kinds of hassles that were depleting me energetically, financially, stealing my joy, my happiness, all of that? I had to really look at that, because it gets to a point with a codependent relationship where you either remain within the codependence in a negative sense and you continue living off of each other's anger and fear and insecurity and weakness and whatever it may be, without getting to a stage where you can stand as an individual person dealing with whatever it is that you're dealing with and growing together. And this is one thing I must say, my husband has gifted me with a gift that's, you know, that is priceless. And that is where, you know, be it couples, parents, best friends, work colleagues, the people who are closest to us in our environment and the ones we spend the most time with are going to mirror us. And one of the things with this project has been our external reality mirroring to us exactly what our inner world looks like, because so many people are in a state of denial. Not because they're in denial because they're bad or stupid, time of conditioning. And through that conditioning, we build defenses, we build high walls, we build barriers, because why? We're in survival mode. So once we are so ensconced in that survival mode, we don't see the codependent exchange of energies and get completely wrapped up in the drama of those relationships. So to become individuated, which is part of Carl Jung's world, becoming an individual in terms of recognizing yourself as a soul who has gone through a lifetime of challenges, but those challenges do not necessarily have to be the ultimate deciding factor of how you are to be, who you are, and who you should be spending your life with. We always have the choice to make those changes. And I believe the intensity that people are experiencing in codependent relationships at the moment is because there is this urgency to embrace ourselves as unique individuals and to take full self-responsibility for our individual journey, but still be able to be unconditionally loving and supportive with ourselves and the people that we're sharing our life with. So it may initially be a process of having to, you know, end relationships, and those are relationships across the board that match up to the checklist that I gave you a few minutes ago that I used. It may mean that, you know, you need to move home. It may mean that you change jobs. It may for some people be a radical, complete change of their entire lives. And for others, it might simply be a process of being able to take the current relationship, let's say now a relationship between a husband and a wife or life partners, and the love is there, but the codependency is creating so much drama and pain and suffering and stagnation in the relationship that one party, once they recognize this codependent flow, can then begin working toward a process of collaboration or collaborating within the partnership rather than sucking the life force out of each other. And, you know, face it, it's a fact that certain people bring out the worst in us and others bring out the best in us. And it's not a failure if you own up to yourself that a certain relationship or friendship or, whatever it may be, has reached its sell-by date. People tend to hang on to and cling on to the old because it's a comfort zone. And where we are moving to now, Faith, as you well know, we're moving into a realm where the past is history. We need to be here and now in this moment so that we can be completely grounded in our body. So if we're spending the majority of our time constantly focused on the past or constantly worrying about the future, we're not in our bodies. And this also, I believe, exacerbates these codependent relationships where people are unable to separate themselves from the drama, individually take full responsibility for their personal drama and the contribution to the couple's drama or the collective drama, and move forward from that. So, look, that's my 10 cents worth, Faith. I trust that answers your question. And if there's anything you would like to add on to that, please feel free to go ahead and do it before we share our talk with Lena with our listeners.
Sure. I think that was wonderfully done. I appreciate that. And I was thinking of an article that your husband shared on Facebook about fathers and daughters needing their fathers. And honestly, a lot of our families have become, as we talk on a lot of our shows, the importance of families and the stability of a home life and how that has also been purposely interfered with by the dark. Because if you don't have that stability at home, then who you are as an individual and your actions in the world, what you came here to do, are very negatively affected. So I also think about codependent relationships as it relates to children with their parents. Would you, you know, what would you add to that as a few extra points, perhaps looking at it as a parent-child relationship and codependency. Would you add anything to that?
You know what, Faith, you know what I think would actually be awesome is maybe our show next week, we focus on the different faces of codependent relationships because, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a mother to four of my own children and an inherited little pickle. And, I've had my fair share of relationship drama and, you know, I am with my divine counterpart. We've been together for 7 years. And when it comes to codependent relationships within children, I think there's so many dimensions to that because we need to look at, you know, what is the nature of that codependency? You know, is one of the parents living vicariously through the child and the child is too scared of that particular parent so they don't stand up to the parent, so they being pressurized to live the parent's unresolved life or the incomplete aspects of their life? Is there deep wounding reflected between the child and the parent? Because that's also another thing. Our children reflect the different stages of our lives. I see that with all my children, right from the youngest one, age 5, right up to my eldest son, who has just turned 30. I've then got a 15-year-old and a pigeon pair of twins who are about to turn 12. So throughout all of those ages, I see the reflection with each of my children. But I think this might be a really good topic regarding just codependent relationships and how that impacts us. How do you feel about that, Faith?
I love it. Thank you very much because it comes up so often. And I am not a fan of labels. And I'd like to, with this program, kind of take things and explain them better so that people are not stuck in these labels and think it's a life. With addictions, there's a lot of conversation with codependency and stuff. And I think, you know, we get stuck on what that's manifested as and label people as that, and we've missed the point, you know, and yes, I would really like to do that. So thank you.
Awesome. Okay, great. So it's a date. This time next week, we will be talking about codependent relationships. But now let's move on to the next slot of our program today. Today we are going to be sharing with you, it's a pre-recorded sound clip that we are going to be sharing with you today, which I recorded yesterday with one of our members of our group who works on the Earth Project. Her name is Lena Hochland, and Lena is from Sweden, and one of the things that Lena works with thoroughly and intensively on a day-to-day basis is generally the energy of darkness meeting the light, and her speciality areas is working with protection techniques, helping to shield against darkness, etc. So we are going to, and let's hold thumbs and cross fingers and toes that this all works, that our soundbite actually plays, and you will listen to the conversation I had with Lena yesterday. And in the future, we will be having Lena come back on air with us. Lena has said that she would love to also, you know, have our listeners call in if they have any specific issues that they would like to address. So we're beginning to expand our family contributing to our Palace of Peace Talk Radio. And my husband, Sean Manders, who a number of you I'm sure know already, Sean will also be contributing some information, and we're still trying to decide whether it's going to be on this Tuesday Palace of Peace Talk Radio show or if we're going to slot a different day. And it's going to be basically just straight talk with Sean. And Sean has the most amazing ability to see the very complex aspects of our human nature and simplified in the most amazing way possible. So, but more on that as we go along. Right now, I am going to play this soundbite for you, and let's all hold fingers and toes that it works. Okay, here we go.
Alrighty, so hello, Lena.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to our Palace of Peace Talk Radio special guest slot, where we have got you contributing to our process of sharing information with our community out there. And as you know, Faith and I are creating a platform where people can access information that's actually conducive to the path, that is serving a positive purpose and actually educating people with regards to the most accurate information that is out there. And I'd just like to, you know, clarify with our listeners, as you and I have spoken already, that the processes that we provide through our interviews and talks, it is not a generic formula that applies and works for absolutely everyone. So in chatting with Lena today and the information that Lena's going to give us, it's vitally important that you take this information and tweak it according to your personal requirements. So I'm very excited that Lena's actually here with us today. Lena is head of our Palace of Peace and Emerald Ray Clan of Guardian Security Grids. So Lena has been very, very active in terms of connecting with feeling, sensing, and understanding the nature of the energy dynamics when we're working with big groups of people, as well as the grids that Mother Earth is now busy accepting. One of the most important aspects of all these changes is what you call spiritual hygiene as well. So with Lena being such a key player in terms of, you know, all the current Earth changes and upgrades and things like that, Lena has seen firsthand the vital importance in making sure that we are properly protected. So a lot of people don't even know the basics of what psychic protection is, or any kind of personal protection for that matter, never mind spiritual hygiene. So Lena, I would love for you to just share with our listeners your perspective on protection, why you feel it's so important, and then we'll go into what the very basics are that, you know, our listeners can perhaps apply. So over to you, Lena. Okay. Fire away.
Thank you for that introduction. That was very nice, good, first of all. And I'm very happy to be here on this show today. So, and I'll do my best to explain this stuff in the way I see it, and to keep it as simple as possible for all of you to understand it. And it actually isn't that complicated. You can see it as any other security work, that you have like three phases, as I see it. You look at the prevention part, you look at what happens if shit hits the fan, and you take a look at look back on it if it happens. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that it does happen for all of us at some time, mm-hmm. at some point. And that's also how we learn. So it's very important to get the experiences, to withdraw the knowledge and the experiences from it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also interesting because looking at it, it also very much connects to the messages that Kutumi and Mary Magdalene and also Jezebel, that they have been bringing to us during this project and the previous channelings. Where to me, it's a bottom line is about knowing yourself and being aware of yourself, first of all, because that's where everything begins. And keeping up, like, that, the best protection is actually that part to me.
Knowing yourself.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. And with knowing yourself, it's also about, you know, monitoring yourself during that process. So on a daily basis, just be aware of who you are, where you are, what's going on, what you're reacting on, and why is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that you can sort of train to get to that stage, because, you know, I mean, I didn't do that years ago either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that something that you're born with.
Mm-hmm.
With this, also we're talking about spiritual hygiene. To me, it's you brush your teeth every day, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I hope so. Maybe take a shower. And that's to take care of your physical body,
mm-hmm.
to take care of yourself. But part of taking care of yourself is also to have this monitoring process. If you don't do it, like, if you're not able to do it, like, continuously during the day, just at least do it during a spiritual practice. See to it that you have some kind of spiritual practice in place, preferably in the morning, waking up, or before you go to work, or whatever you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
because it sets the energies for the day as well. And there are, I'm not gonna tell you exactly what to do, because we are all different, and we all have different preferences, and it's. I think one of the things that we all need to do is to find what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
What is working best for me?
Mm-hmm.
An exception is always connect with your guardian angel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Work with your guardian angel, and ask for help, because you can't get help unless you ask for it,
mm-hmm.
because we live in a world of free choice.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have a bunch of beings that are helping you or wanting to help you, you need to ask for help. You need
mm-hmm.
to ask for it. So that is like the basic thing. So what you would do in the morning is to have a very simple practice if you want to, or you can have it like a gargantuan one.
Mm-hmm.
It
complicated
on,
one.
Yes, exactly. And it's nothing is right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
as long as it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting with your guardian angel is what I recommend that you do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And use that as much as possible. And don't feel shy about it, or that you're like interrupting something,
mm-hmm.
or disturbing or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because your guardian angel is there to help you.
Absolutely.
And assist you.
Well, our guardian angel is, at each beginning of each lifetime, we have one assigned to us,
yeah.
to take care of everything 24/7, so best we make use of it. Use it or lose it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah. There was something you mentioned when we were talking earlier on this morning, about the light team, and that there are different ones. So I don't know if all our listeners have ever heard of the fact that, you know, I'm sure most of them have heard of a guardian angel, but that there are other groups or teams that are assigned to us.
Yeah.
So I found that very interesting in terms of not a lot of people actually knowing that either.
Yeah, okay. So, and that's also kind of simple, because just like you have your guardian angel, you have a team of other beings with you everywhere you go. It's 24/7, 365. And same thing applies with that. You just be aware of it, but you also need to call them. Call them for assistance. And you don't have to know exactly what beings they are.
Mm-hmm.
You just call on your team.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you can do it like on a daily basis, or you can do it the same way as you do with the guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
So they are there for you. And you also, the same thing applies, you need to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
need an offspring. And the good thing is also to be grateful and give thanks for the assistance you give.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from that, there are so many different ways of getting assistance and setting up. You need to set up protection. That's like to do that, and also get help with clearing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that is like the basic two things.
Okay.
So to me, it's not just to get protection.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about having, you know, checking up on yourself to have yourself clear, because especially if you're in environments where there's a lot of shit going on, like in subways or in a bar or in public places where
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people. That is also, you ask your guardian angel, ask your team. You can bring down the sacred white light. You can use the violet flame. Ask spirit for help. And that's just examples. Some of you may know Latin prayers. That's also useful.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is to do this. And sorry, I almost forgot. One very important and very simple thing is the prayer that Kutumi gave us that you included in the readings, Michelle.
Oh, for the phase three practice.
Yes, exactly. So, because that one is very simple and yet very powerful.
Okay.
And it's about aligning.
I'm just yanking the tree out. Yeah,
I got it here.
You got it there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
I use it on a daily basis.
Okay.
Every morning. It's the alignment process is also that's why it's so powerful, because when you align with that energy, you're in yourself. You're in your power. And that's one of the best protections you can have.
Absolutely. Because one of the things that I was also going to ask you, and I'm sure, I know this, and I'm sure you've come across this, is especially people who are new to this journey, who haven't really understood the concept of psychic protection or spiritual protection, and shockingly enough, there's also people who've kind of like been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah.
They don't have a cooking clue how to activate protection or, you know, why do we need protection?
Mm.
If I'm thinking good thoughts and I believe I'm aligned with goodness, why do I need to protect myself?
Yeah.
So if I am drinking calcium every day, why do I need to brush my teeth? Is that kind of like what you would say, the same level of... Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Exactly.
All right, so just quickly to go back to the prayer, because you're absolutely right. I mean, this prayer is absolutely amazing. And maybe, you know, for people who do not quite understand how to call in protection, and maybe this is something we can cover in a few minutes, but what I would like to do is just quickly read out
this
prayer.
Yes.
And this is the prayer that Lena is actually referring to, and it was one that was channeled in our Middle East Phase 3 project. And the information that was given, it was, who was it? Was it Petunia Gripper?
Yeah, Petunia
Gripper.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to quote him verbatim, he says, "Now in your heart and mind, repeat after me. I stand before you, my Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother, the one and only true Father God and Mother Goddess of the Light. As I stand before you, I open all my energy centers to you, and I invite into my body, mind, spirit, soul, and every other aspect of myself I as yet have not recognized, your love, your creative inspiration, your compassion, your ability to forgive, to love, and to trust. Heavenly Mother and Heavenly Father, the one and only true Father God and Mother Goddess of the Light, I serve you alone. Your will is my will. Your wish is my command, and all that is my divine right, I accept now. I open my heart, my mind, my body, spirit, and soul to receive your bountiful blessings. And receiving this, your bountiful blessings provide all I need so that I may continue to serve you. Beloved one and only true Father God and Mother Goddess of the Light, may I walk in your shoes. May I love with your heart. May I forgive with the compassion and love you embody. May I come to find peace, calmness, and stillness in your embrace. Heavenly Mother and Heavenly Father, cradle me in your arms, holding me close to your heart, where I come to find stillness, peace, and relief. Wipe from my heart all fear, all negativity, and all doubt. For as I walk forward from this day forward and every single day, so it is that I walk knowing I am one with you. Amen. So, yeah, that is a pretty empowering prayer in terms of the different aspects and angles that it covers in terms of, I would say, even our attitude towards life on a daily basis, the peace, the calmness, the stillness, the forgiveness, the compassion. Because like we were saying earlier on as well, it's so easy to fall back into the old debilitating patterns. We are uncomfortably comfortable in our suffering, our pain, and, you know, whatever poverty consciousness there may be, possibly because it's something we're accustomed to experiencing on such a regular basis, so kind of like accepted as being the norm, whereas that is...
Yeah, it's easier to be in pain sometimes because it's the old familiar thing than to break free from it and get out of it. Even if that would be nicer, so that takes an effort to get over to that side of it.
Great. Well, just, you know, just a little quick thing that I'll add in here in terms of, you know, working with our guardian angel, and that I was telling you about this the other morning. You know, where we get to a point where, and this is something that Lena and I were discussing at length the other day in relation to protection and these kinds of things, is when we make things too complicated, when you need to kind of like just invoke protection like instantaneously, if you happen to be in a shopping mall and it's crazy jam-packed full of people and you find yourself becoming overwhelmed because of all the collective pressure, and that you might need to invoke protection as quickly as possible, or you might find yourself in a situation where you are dealing with a huge amount of negativity being projected towards you, or you're just having a really challenging day and feeling that your energy is being pulled in all directions. The thing that I have found that works really, really brilliantly for me is instantaneous thing now, where I imagine my guardian angel standing right behind me, and it's kind of like protection up, and the wings flip out and wrap around me, and it's this instant sensation of being completely protected. And then sometimes I find myself, you know, shrugging my shoulders and these big giant wings pop up and wrap again around me, but that's more my guardian angel being aligned within me, and it's his wings coming out. My guardian angel is male, if we have to call it that. So I find that a very simple, very easy technique, but as you said earlier on, people need to find what works for them. Yeah. So that works for me. I don't know if you'd like to share with our listeners what works for you, and then some other very basic tips, but protection is such an important part of every aspect of our life.
Yeah.
And I think what we've also ascertained through our talking so much is how people tend to not apply the rules to every aspect of life. Now, you in IT, right?
Yeah.
And you were also saying something very cool about how the IT process kind of like filters in with, you know, life.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind sharing that with our listeners, because I found that really, really interesting.
So what part of it?
It was, I think it was a different, I don't know if it was the, let me go back, try and think back to it. It was, is it the stages?
The devices and that stuff?
That, and then I think it was also in terms of writing code or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's with the, it's very similar. The IT business, you program stuff, right?
Yes.
Nothing works without a program. And you are the one who sets the program up, and it's you can go in and restructure the code. You can regenerate it. You can You can change it, and you can throw it away if mm-hmm. you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it always needs to go with the hardware. So the software and the hardware, the code is implemented into the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you also got a motherboard. Where you have
motherboard codes. Or mothership?
Motherboard.
In a mothership, maybe.
So you have different levels of code. You have code that is like in the machine parts, and
mm-hmm.
you have codes that go with the software that you interact with, that you see on the screen when you use a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's also very similar to how we work
mm-hmm.
as human beings. Because we've got different kinds of programs within us. And we've been programmed since we were born in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We've been programmed from other lifetimes. And we've been programmed by stuff that happened to us on other planets, in other galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and all of it is something that is included in who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And these codes, you can shift them.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it deliberately. You can... You can go in and see them, like in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You see it visually
mm-hmm.
And change them in that sense. But you can also just by the work we are doing, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing our own codes
mm-hmm.
without really knowing it or
yeah.
being aware of it. But it's very useful when you work with this kind of thing as well, because when you have... When I have clients, for example, that have stuff going on with them that they can't handle yourself, right? Maybe you've had an attack or some implant or device or something is got triggered by you raising your energy level to higher frequencies because that often happens. Then you can just go into that, you can find that code in that structure in you and change it. You can shift and change it, or replace it,
mm-hmm.
or like refresh it,
mm-hmm.
so that it fits for you,
mm-hmm.
Like right here, not right now, and setting you for your future. So that's a very common similarity, and it's not known. Like my colleagues in the IT business, they don't have a clue about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, and the opposite direction is not as common as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, it's not. That's why I thought, you know, it's actually, it makes such sense, and it's actually so simple if we think how, you know, everything is connected.
Yeah.
Everything is one. So the principles that you apply in making your business a very successful business are the same principles you should be applying in your spiritual
yeah.
life, your personal life, your relationships, because everything is connected.
Yeah.
So that for me is incredibly fascinating.
Mm.
Now, when you were speaking now about, you know, you can go in, you can find that code, you can either trash it or
yeah.
you can rewrite it. Is this, especially when people are beginning to wake up or raising their vibration,
yeah.
obviously we know that whether people are waking up or whether they're elevating their self-awareness and consciousness to a higher level, there are forces of destruction and debilitation out there that don't necessarily want to see us progress
no.
and wake up and raise our vibration. So in terms of what you are offering your clients and what you do with people as a healer, do you help them by going in and finding that code?
Yes.
So that is something that you then offer.
Yeah.
So if our listeners are going, I have no idea where the code is. What the hell does the code look like? You know, where the hell do I find it? You know, just you can't leave me here. Code. Where is the code? Kind of thing. So if our listeners are, you know, feel that they resonate with this information
yeah.
and they understand the concept of code, and I think it's incredible just listening to what you're saying here. The software needs to be inserted in the hardware. So the software of the codes that we're now downloading is
yeah.
being inserted into the hardware, Mother Earth. So I find that absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And the programming process, as you just described.
Yeah.
Now, the other very important thing that is a highly, highly important aspect of IT is firewalls and protection.
Yes, exactly.
To prevent malware and viruses, etc., etc. So it's actually all tied into what you do technologically in IT and what you do spiritually. Am I correct in that observation?
Yes. It's fascinating in that way because it's very high tech in that sense. And it combines with old tech. In the sense that you can sometimes find, that's kind of common thing that you can find in the same person that is suffering from something, some symptom. When we work into it and try to get to the core, because that's interesting, that's the interesting part, to get to the core of it. And because otherwise you will just treat symptoms, right?
Yes, yes.
And in that same person you can find a medieval looking collar, like metal collar around the neck with chains and all, at the same time as you have highly advanced pieces of, like, devices and implants. You can have a motherboard, you can have other types of stuff in the brains or elsewhere in the body, but mainly in the brains. And that combination is also very interesting, that you still have this medieval kind of scary stuff combined with that more high-tech science chip. And the high-tech science stuff that the Dark Ones often use on us in this sense is used in a very brutal and insidious way. And we don't often get it or understand that we have this stuff within us and that it may cause us. You can get physical symptoms from it. You can get visions. You can get weird ideas from it, and it's all from the same source. Like it's just like we do it more deliberately, or most often we use it for good purposes. At least I do it, or I want to do it. But then we have, this is just insidious use. So it's high tech, but you use it in a malefic way. And it's gotten more, it's getting more and more insidious. It's getting more and more subtle. And that is also why it's the awareness we need to have needs to be more subtle. It needs to be more focused on the little things, the details within ourselves, and also the subtle energies. Okay, I'm feeling something is different here. So what is that? Just to have the attention to it.
And that ability to have that level of attention requires that you know yourself.
Yes, exactly.
So basically, what am I understanding you correctly, that if we are to develop this super equally sort of subtle energy in comparison to the insidious energies, that we develop that same level of subtle observation and awareness, we really need to get to more of the core of our own issues, as opposed to just relying on coming to see Lena and taking them to the core code inside.
And then that brings you back to what I started off with. It's in any security business, you need to, you don't want the shit to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's prevention.
Yeah, you need to put the most of the work is in the prevention part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for example, you can compare it to, I was working with horses a lot years ago. And in doing that, part of that training was, I thought at times that it was ridiculous that we were overcautious.
Mm-hmm.
That we couldn't do this and we couldn't do that because it could be like something would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it was like, Jesus, this is just crazy. They're overdoing it.
Mm-hmm.
Until the day shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when you deal with horses, it could be lethal.
Mm-hmm.
Really dangerous.
Yes.
So what you do with that, when you have been training with the precautions and the prevention parts, is that you apply it, and then it works, because you know when it's when you're facing the real shit, you need to have it in place as much as possible.
Okay.
So that's one of the that's one of the good things when you have experienced stuff.
Yes.
And now I was comparing it to horses, but it's the same principle. It's the same thing with what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So and when you've seen the shit hit the fan, it's serious business.
Yes.
It can be lethal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to scare people, but it's more like to take it seriously in that sense, that it's unnecessary stuff that can happen to you if
mm-hmm.
you don't have this awareness and
mm-hmm.
if you don't keep up your own work.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it also boils down to the very basic, simple things that we apply on a day-to-day basis. When you climb into your car, you put your seatbelt on before you go, you know, driving off into crazy traffic.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go into a serious football match, you're wearing a helmet and shoulder pads and gum guard.
Yeah.
It's all prevention.
Exactly.
So it all fits.
Yeah.
So. Thank you, Lena, because that I think is very important in terms of people, I think, regardless of where we are on our sort of journey of waking up, is that prevention is always better than having to go through the drama of something going seriously, seriously wrong.
Yeah.
So for someone who is, let's say, brand spanking new to this path, are there any sort of basic or simple processes that you could maybe suggest that they maybe start looking at or experiment with so that they can find what works for them?
Something that I suggest to we are all different, as I say.
Mm.
For example, myself, I have a hard time to learn things by heart.
Mm.
That's why I keep printouts and notes with me in a special, you know, I got a file,
mm-hmm.
and I also take pictures. I put it on my phone. So
as reminders.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's and some of us are really good at learning by heart.
Mm.
And so please do that if you have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good at visualizing, you can use that capability as well.
And in visualizing what, the white light or the violet flame?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And I strongly suggest that you add on to the guardian angel part and your personal team, just the beings you're most comfortable with. You know, call to them and invoke them into your presence when you do your spiritual practice,
mm-hmm.
and get to know each other or get to know them as much as possible, and try to get to learn what they want to tell you as well,
mm-hmm.
because it's another part just to observe and be quiet with it, and just do the stuff that fits with that,
mm-hmm.
and I work a lot myself with the sacred white light,
mm-hmm.
and I feel a very close connection to spirit, so that's very often what I do, like on a daily basis as well.
Mm-hmm.
If I get attacked, and that's as I said, you can do a lot of prevention stuff, but
mm-hmm.
you can't always prevent
mm-hmm.
stuff from happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done the stuff that you do with your guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
I just call in Merlin and Lord Melchizedek and Archangel Michael is what I work the most with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain what I do with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just
kind of happens.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And I call for protection. I call for guidance as well, because
mm-hmm.
very often, as I'm a spiritual warrior myself, I sometimes find myself working together with them, so like side by side. And it always works, but in different ways.
Okay.
And I also shift my, like this prayer that you just read, I haven't used that before, but I try and use stuff. Because when it resonates with me, I just sense that, okay, I'll try this one and see how it goes. And then I can shift accordingly to where I'm at.
Yeah.
And where I'm heading. Because it's like we were talking earlier here about food and how food that I ate for like 10 years ago maybe doesn't fit me today because I have a different body, I'm a different person, I'm heading somewhere else.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. And Lena, just another quick question. Do you have any suggestions or advice for people who have experienced an attack or going through it? Is there anything specific that you suggest that maybe they do during the attack or after the attack in order just to bring their, you know, calm themselves down?
I forgot something because it's something that is very helpful is joy and laughter. That is something that the dark forces just can't stand, to be frank and honest. And if you have the possibility I know it's, if you're in a frantic situation, it may be very hard, but you can do simple things like if you lift your arms, you raise your arms above your head, straight up. That is something that raises your energy.
So just like that, stretch your arms in the air.
Try to stretch your arms up and be pissed off or sad. You can practice that.
Not in a way.
Or just putting up your, pretend that you smile. It's another trick.
While you want to headbutt someone.
Put your mouth up. Because that is, you will see that it's very hard to keep that annoyment or the agitation or whatever it is you're feeling. And I know that might be very hard to do if you get serious attack and you feel anxiety and that shit. But back to it, if you practice that self-awareness, and then you also will be better equipped when something happens. Like detaching from the situation, you step aside and you just be aware of yourself and see what's going on.
So looking at it objectively.
Yes. Okay. What am I feeling? What is happening? Where in my body is it? And how do I handle it? And that's also because we tend to, if I don't know what's going on, and if I don't know why it's going on, I get hysterical, or I can get it's easier to get caught into it. That would be the trouble, so to speak. So it also helps you relax. And it helps you stay in your power, so you don't have to give your power away that easily. And that's also a very important part of the self-awareness and getting to know yourself, is that you don't give your power away.
Yes, exactly, because you can set boundaries.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic.
And that is also another part that is very important in the basic stuff. That's setting boundaries, having healthy boundaries, and staying grounded. Staying grounded.
Well, I think, you know, on that note, as you're talking about the staying grounded, again, this is something that a lot of people don't understand. They think they're grounded because, you know, for whatever reason. But recently, Katumia Gripper spoke at length. I think it was Katumia Gripper or Mary Magdalene. You were there at the channeling. It was one of them. Where they were speaking at length about how we become ungrounded, and that when we are spending the majority of our time connecting into the past, be it the past of this lifetime and even more so past lifetimes, and we make the past our current identity, we can't be grounded in our body. And if we're too, you know, focusing too much on the future, we can't be grounded in our body. So if you are prone to latching on to whatever past life you might have had, which I call glamorizing these past lives.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself constantly being pulled back into past lives and spending a lot of time investigating every aspect of that and making it your current reality and identity, you ain't grounded.
No.
So, and if you're worrying so much about the future and 5 years from now and 10 years from now, even a week from now, and not focusing on the present, you are
not grounded.
There we go. So the best way to ground ourselves is, as he was saying, is being present. And
yes.
I mean, we've heard how many times, live in the now, being in the moment.
Yes.
Eckhart Tolle wrote a whole book about, you know, being in the now or something like that. So it's actually such simple rules,
yes,
or simple processes that we as human beings tend to complicate.
Exactly.
So then just to wrap this all up and kind of like put it in a nutshell in terms of, you know, the work that you do with people and perhaps the number one thing that you find in your line of work coming up that you would like to just share with our listeners, and then again, you know, just clarifying that prevention,
yes,
is the best thing to do.
Yes.
Stay grounded, and of course the most important thing is to know ourselves.
Exactly.
So that we understand our own behavior and get to understand how we are going to react to situations when, as you say, the shit hits the fan, you know.
Yep.
So how do you handle stress? How do you handle confrontation? If you're not the kind of person that can handle stress and confrontation, how do you handle these so-called attacks? Because,
yep,
these attacks might come in the form of projection, rejection, gossip, slander,
yes,
just, you know, bad energy coming your way. So for me, I know that's very important when I'm going through something really tough. I know what I need to do in order,
yes,
to realign my energy,
yes,
you know. So sometimes I need to do something physically, like I'll stop tidying up the house, you know, or I have to pace up and down in the garden. And so there, I must say, I absolutely back Lena up in terms of that, getting to know ourselves. So I'm going to leave the wrap-up to you there, Lena.
Yeah, that's, because another part in that is to know your strengths and to know your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know your weaknesses, like your soft spots, and see to it that you are brutally honest with yourself, and you don't have to share that with anyone else,
mm-hmm,
but be honest with yourself, because you're doing yourself a favor by doing that. You're doing nothing else if you,
mm-hmm,
don't do that. So, and that is also where these so-called attacks often happen. So if you know the weak parts of yourself, you get to know where you need to work the most.
And where you need to concentrate your,
yes,
protection.
Exactly.
Okay. Awesome.
Specifically.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
so
you
much, Lena. And with the people that you're doing work with,
yeah,
how can, if our listeners want to get hold of you, if they want to help you find their code, their core code or whatever it is,
yeah,
how can people get hold of you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. But then I am undercover with my Swedish surname.
Okay.
So, and otherwise, you can find me on Gmail. I got Northern Light Feather in one, you call it?
One word?
One word, at gmail.com. And I'll get back to you as soon,
awesome,
as I can.
Great, thank you. So just to repeat, the way that you get hold of Lena is by emailing her, and it's all one word, northernlightfeather@gmail.com. So northern as in N for north. Northern light as in L-I-G-H-T, and as light as a feather. feather. So
yes,
northernlightfeather@gmail.com. Lena, thank you so much for joining us today and being our special guest and contributing some really valid and very, very vital information to all of our listeners out there, because as we have said, you know, protection seems to be the one thing that is disregarded the most or considered not to be as important.
Yeah.
So if we don't brush our teeth are going to fall out. If we don't put our seatbelt on, we're going to get flung through the rearview mirror or the windscreen, etc. So point made, right?
Course.
Awesome. Lena, thank you very, very much. And so if you are needing any support in terms of this code aspect that we've spoken about and getting to the core of your personal issues, and you feel you resonate with Lena's energy and what she's spoken about, please go ahead and contact Lena, again, northernlightfeather@gmail.com, and Lena will get back to you as soon as she can. Obviously, she's traveling at the moment. She's here with me in Johannesburg, South Africa, and then she's heading off to Adam's Calendar tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, I'm happy. Two.
Yes, which is another awesome sacred site on our planet. And then you're off to the Western Cape to go and experience one of our oceans. So thank you very much, Lena, and safe travels going home.
Thank you very much.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Lena.
Thank you.
It worked.
Alrighty. Hello,
thank you,
Lena.
Too well, it's repeating itself.
That was great.
Yes. So, Faith, you weren't present with us when I interviewed Lena. So, is there anything that you would like to add, just to back that up or to add to it? Because you've also had an immense amount of experience working with people with regards to protection and more kind of like dark entity interference rather than just sort of negative projections and that. So, please enlighten us further.
Yes, and as well as you have too. And I'll tell you that at first the experiences were happening around me and I wasn't looking for it. It was stuff that I really didn't want to do. I was just used to working with the angelic host, and I thought, what the Sam Hill is this? And through working with the angelic host, they taught me that your biggest fears are often your largest strengths. And I thought, what? And it wasn't until I was faced with that I realized the truth of it. And what I really like that is very important that I want to highlight that Lena said, and you and I have talked about this in shows when we first started these programs, is you really need to know who you are and to understand that we are used to, as humanity, giving our power away. It's just something we have done, and it's been taught, and it's through the generations. So as we become our full selves and our individual selves, like we've been talking, stand more in our own light, so we have more knowledge. Light is information. It's higher information. So the more you work with yourself, love yourself, you know what your weaknesses are, that becomes a wonderful place for you because really your peace is where your power is. And when you feel at peace with yourself, when you're threatened in a situation, something takes over, trust me, and it becomes deeper for you while the adrenaline is flowing. But they do pick up on your weaknesses. And if you know what they are, because something happened to me once and an entity was speaking through someone and I knew what they were doing. They were saying out loud something that I was consciously working on, and I burst out laughing. And they don't expect that. And it totally, totally deflated them.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing yourself, the areas that you work on, and very briefly, what are we protecting ourselves from? Well, as people pass on in their current incarnation, they don't always go into the light and they get stuck in between worlds. Growing up Catholic, I was taught the word was purgatory. Some people may know the word as the astral plane, and they are stuck in the emotion that they left in. So sometimes what looks like, I went down to a house in my neighborhood a year or so ago where she thought it was a demonic entity, and it was in fact a poor woman who was stuck in between worlds, angry, upset. She needed help. So sometimes things aren't always what you think. Part of it is just our own fear and what we're taught in the movies. So the protection is so that your boundaries, you're not affected by it, and the power of being an observer and what might be going on in that situation. So there's a lot that, you know, the more that you can be present and trying to see what's going on and being grounded, then you can use your appropriate response and calling in Archangel Michael or whomever it is you work with, Jesus. It doesn't matter. That lightness is bringing in where the dark is and getting light particles moving again, and nothing is more powerful than that. And believe it or not, one of the reasons why I like teaching Zumba is because it puts people in a great mood, they feel good about themselves, they're grounded, and it lasts for many hours afterwards. So those things, as part of your spiritual hygiene, are things that you probably wouldn't think of because you think you have to do a rosary worth of prayer. There are many things that you can do and many ways to reprogram, as Lena was talking about. I thought it was a very well done explanation and a rehash somewhat of what you and I have talked about. And I encourage our listeners to go back, go to the some of the earlier programs, even the Boos and Don'ts of Halloween, and you'll hear Lena really doing a great job bringing in her perspective, how she does things, and repeating the truth of it. Because really, it's being love. There's nothing more powerful than love. And the two cannot exist in the same space. So, you know, understanding it, being compassionate, and standing your ground will help whatever that situation is. So I hope that was helpful.
Very helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Faith. And, you know, I felt the information that we've shared with our listeners today to be incredibly valuable, especially in my observation of how few people understand what protection is all about. And this morning, my husband and I, and Lena was with us, we actually went to go and do a clearing of a property this morning. And it's, you know, sometimes when we go in and do clearings, it doesn't get all completed the first time. So we're going to be going back tomorrow to go and do the next stage of it. But the occupants of the home, in me working with them, helping them to understand what's going on and how to, you know, adjust to the energies that are moving as a result, is self-protection. And the first thing the lady said to me is, I don't know how to protect myself. And again, there was the confirmation this morning. So protection, as you and Lena have been saying, is such an incredibly important aspect of everything that we do. And, you know, it need not be a complicated thing. And sometimes, you know, if you are in a situation where you feel you can't use love, or, you know, it's just inappropriate to maybe burst out laughing, which, you know, might just get a pile of knuckles into your mouth, then, you know, maybe just think of something empowering. Think of something positive. If you, you know, imagine flicking a lighter, so, or striking a match. As you strike that match, the flame is immediately there. As you flick the lighter, the flame immediately ignites. And maybe use that visual with yourself to imagine striking a match, the flame ignites, and that's the flame that ignites around you, and you are inside of that flame. So you've got a violet or golden flame that you are contained in. I also find that what works really well for me is if I'm also needing instantaneous protection or I'm feeling threatened, is I call in the blood of Christ to wash through me, to wash over me. And that also really helps. The other thing is I imagine like a little light switch going on and these violet flames just bursting to life in each of my chakras, and then obviously another one around me. And that really works for me. So, if you find my shortcut techniques apply to you or you resonate, and you want to try them out, please go ahead and do it. And as Lena and Faith and myself are saying, find what works for you as well. Tweak it to suit you. You might be the kind of person that feels more secure doing a more ritualistic protection. You might be the kind of person that's on the go all the time. You're running off to work. It's the subway. It's into a meeting. It's out of a meeting. It's back out the building. It's in. Those little, quick techniques that I use might work for you in that sense. So either way, find something that works for you, that really feels that it is protection for you. If you want to know more, then get in touch with us.
And also, don't worry about getting it wrong, about finding what's right and works for you. And each situation may call for something different. If I go to a property or land, I do the same thing you do. I find I call in the blood of Christ and just it's raining everywhere. Your intent, your heartfelt intention is everything. You may not realize you're calling the beings next to you that are there just by your heart intention. So you're more powerful than you know. You're just not used to it. You're just not used to thinking about it, knowing what that feels like. And thank you so much for sharing that. It's very true that I've had to go back to properties as well and reflect on it. Like Lena said, prevention, crisis, review. Oftentimes, you're attracting someone because you have something in common with them. And they're teaching you something, whether they're incarnate or discarnate. And that's sometimes what the entity is around you, and it's there to teach you. So this whole project, being an individual, being in your light, the darkness meeting the light, I'm so grateful to you, Michelle, and the work that you do. It's changed my life. It's made me better as someone in service to the people that are called to work with me. I'm just eternally grateful and humbled by all that I learn and all the knowing I have that much more to learn. So thank you, and I love you, and it was a great, empowering program.
Well, thank you very much, Faith, and thank you for your very, very loving words. And I am, this work has also changed my life. I absolutely love what I do, and I always come with humility and such gratitude that these magnificent, benevolent beings are, I'm working alongside them, and for me, that is just such an honor. And I just want to extend a huge big thank you to everyone who takes the time to listen to what we share. What Faith and I share with you comes from an unconditional, infinite source of love from our hearts as a result of the wonderful, wonderful experiences we've had on our journey of awakening, albeit at times a little rough. That's just putting it mildly. But anyway, we get through these things. We rise above it. So thank you, everyone, to our listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time to listen to Faith and I. Thank you to Lena, who's actually on her way to Adam's calendar as we speak, for agreeing to do the interview with us yesterday, and who'll be back with some more slots as we continue through this year. Please share our broadcasts with anyone who you think will benefit from it. And we'll see you same time, same place next week. Thank you very much, Faith. Love you lots, my friend in Hollywood. And love the rest of you. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Faith.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Michelle. I love you too. See you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.